Counsel, this is the case of Hartz versus County of Knox. You may take your seats at council table here. Good morning again to everyone. As you can see, six members of the court are here in person. Justice Miller Lerman will introduce herself again. She is on WebEx.
Good morning, Justice Miller Lerman, participating by WebEx. Thank you, Chief.
And as we can see, Mr. Dole is also participating by WebEx. For those of you in the courtroom, and Mr. Thomas, you've already heard this, but please keep your masks on when you are not presenting to the court. And spectators, please keep your masks on if at all possible. And counsel, when you are arguing to the court, please take your mask off so that we can hear and understand what you have to say. With that, does anybody have any questions before we begin? Okay. Again, case of Hartz versus County of Knox. Mr. Thomas, good morning to you. Are you sharing your time with Mr. Dole?
Yes, and we would like 2 minutes for rebuttal. And again, I will try to be brief, and we know that it will
how
be
many
however
minutes
long
you,
it is.
Do you think you're going to take, Mr. Thomas?
I think 3 minutes.
3 minutes for Mr. Thomas. That would give Mr. Dole the remaining time. And who's going to do rebuttal for you?
Mr. Dole.
Mr. Dole. So you have to keep track of that yourself.
Yes.
With that, very good. You may proceed.
Thank you. I am John Thomas, the Knox County Attorney, and I'm appearing on behalf of the Knox County Board of Supervisors. When the Knox County Board held a hearing and a vote to allow an expansion of a feedlot, it relied on an impact easement signed by Bernadette Tramp, recorded 14 years prior, and had relied on that impact easement for two prior permits. Bernadette Tramp owned approximately 7/10 of the land after her husband Sylvester's death in 1997. In 2011, they did a probate of Sylvester's estate, and by an agreement, she became the life tenant after 2011. So when the county board met, Bernadette was bound by the impact easement she had signed 14 years earlier. What about Bernadette's children? In their brief on page 14, they cite 28 Amjur second estoppel and waiver. They didn't quote the sentence immediately before the sentence that's quoted in their brief, so I'll read it to you. An estoppel that works on an interest in land runs with the land into whose hands the land comes, and privies who are bound by such estoppel include privies in blood and estate. So the Bernadette and her children are privies in blood because she's the widow and they are the children of her and Sylvester. Bernadette and the children are privies in estate four ways. One, again, as widow and children of Sylvester, as PR and the beneficiaries, and Bernadette was the PR of Sylvester's estate. They were all contracting parties to the family agreement, and so in privy again. And finally, they are all Bernadette and the children are grantees of the PR deed to Bernadette for life, remainder to the children.
Did Bernadette give this easement, which it's an impact easement, correct?
Yes.
Did she do that in her role as the personal representative of the estate?
No, because the estate hadn't been opened or wouldn't be open for another 7 years. She signed it as Bernadette as owner of the property. The district court swept aside the privy matter and treated the children as bona fide purchasers for value without notice. Gave them that status. But as heirs or as donees, they are not bona fide purchasers under a long list of your decisions. We think that the Knox County Board was entitled to rely on that easement signed by a 7/10 owner who then became a life tenant, who was still the life tenant at the time the board acted. She was still alive. as binding on her and binding on her privies and blood and estate. We think that the county board should not, in a zoning matter, reform the deed of distribution, redo or complete the probate proceedings, quiet title, or vacate or void the impact easement recorded 14 years earlier. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Dole.
Thank you, Your Honor. Justices, may it please the court. Mr. Fitzgerald, good morning. The relevant statute is 76-238. As Mr. Thomas had alluded to, Mr. Tramp died back in 1997. No probate was done. The land vested to Bernadette and the children. In 1997, the land is treated as Bernadette's. She pays the taxes on it. She has all the beneficial ownership of the land. In 2003, she signs a waiver and easement. That document is recorded. A CUP is issued for a feedlot, and the whole world is then put on notice that a waiver and easement is signed. In 2010, 2011, a windmill company comes through. They discover that the land is actually still in Sylvester's name. So the probate is opened. And at this time, the family enters into a family settlement agreement. They agree to a deed of distribution that gives Bernadette a life use and remainder interest to her children. Subject, the deed is subject to easements and restrictions of record. That deed is recorded on July 12, 2012. It is settled law that a deed of distribution is a quit claim deed and therefore is inherently subject to easements. Therefore, is ratified in 2011 when the children agreed to and accepted the deed of distribution. The family settlement agreement was filed July 12, 2012, the same time as the deed. The entire family, therefore, has notice. 6 years pass. No issues are raised, no complaints with the existing CUP that was relied on regarding the waiver and easement. No quiet title was filed, nothing was done, therefore their inaction is the same as ratification. In 2017, another CUP is applied for the same area as the existing feedlot. And now the family decides to challenge the waiver and easement. Same thing they could have done back in 2003, but didn't when they ratified it. The court wanted to focus on whether or not the children actually witnessed or saw the deed with their own eyes. We believe the court got it wrong in that regard. The children accepted a deed of distribution, which, as I stated, is the same as a quitclaim deed. They ratified the easement in 2011, which makes the land subject to easements of record. They signed a family settlement agreement, had notice of the hearing, did not object at the hearing. They have a duty, like the rest of the world, to check the land records.
Well, what duty did your client have to check the land records? Seems to me that the windmill folks were able to spot that there was a problem with the easement. Is that correct? And why would your clients not have the same duty?
Our folks relied on the easement that was already in existence for the feedlot that was already right next to the mother's property, home. And they relied on that 2003 easement, which was already in existence and was not challenged.
Maybe I'm getting my times mixed up here, but originally Bernadette granted the easement before there was any probate, before any of the original actions were taken by the county allowing the feedlot. Is that correct or am I wrong?
That's correct. She did that in 2003 when she did the waiver and the easement.
Did she have the power to do so?
Yes, she did. We cite that in our brief. The court mentioned it, in fact, in its order as well. She did have the power to do that.
So who actually owned the property when Sylvester died on June 3rd, 1997? Who was the owner of the property?
In 1997, Sylvester owned it in 1997 when he passed, and then with his passing, it vested to his wife and their 8 children through intestate succession.
So am I wrong? Bernadette could grant an easement for whatever interest she had, but could she grant an easement for whatever interest the children had at that point?
Yes, she could. And the court cites that in its order, citing the authority that she had. I don't have the order flipped open to that particular spot right now, but the court cites that in its order, Your Honor. And that is not an issue here, as I understand it. She had the ability to vest everybody and the authority to do so based on her ownership interest. I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, if I may.
Thank you very much. You may. Mr. Fitzgerald, good morning to you.
Good morning, Chief Justice. Please, the court, counsel. My name is Mark Fitzgerald, and I represent the Tramp children, the appellees here. The easement that was signed in 2003 by Bernadette Tramp was signed at the time that the records would indicate that the property was owned by Sylvester Tramp, who was then deceased. Pursuant to Nebraska statute, the property had devolved to his widow and to his children when he died. So when Mrs. Tramp, Bernadette, signed that easement, she did not have the authority or right or privilege of signing that on behalf of her children. That belonged to them. We filed this complaint.
Mr. Fitzgerald, I think you're saying something now that's just a little bit different than what you said in your brief, and I want to be clear about this. On page 20 of your brief, you said the quarter section of land in this case was not probated until 2011 when Bernadette signed the 2003 easement. She was not the personal representative of Sylvester's estate and had no legal authority to grant an easement. You now seem to acknowledge, and I was going to ask you if you hadn't acknowledged it, about the Nebraska statute, which existed before the probate code, exists now under the probate code, and a long line of cases that say, for example, when an ancestor dies intestate, his lands descend instantly to his heirs. It does not require settlement of his estate or probate order declaring heirship to vest his title. And we've said that both before the probate code and under the current probate code.
And I cited
your position evolved just a little bit this morning, and I want you to have an opportunity to make that clear.
Thank you, Justice Castle. I appreciate that. I cited the statute that concerns the immediate devolution of the property to the heirs on the death of the owner. I recognize that even before that statute, Nebraska would recognize that as being the law. The district court, in its order on the motion for summary judgment, overruling the motion for summary judgment, recognized that Bernadette could encumber her interest with the easement. The court focused on ratification with regard to the rest of the owners. The trial judge in the decision in this case also recognized that Bernadette could encumber her interest with the easement.
And that when you say encumber her interest, the interest that she had in 2003 when she signed the easement.
Yes, Justice.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to clarify that. Early in the case, the county moved for summary judgment on the issue of ratification. And the county said that the Tramp children ratified the easement in 2011 when she granted, as personal representative, Bernadette granted herself a life estate and the remainder to the children divided eight ways. The deed of distribution said that the conveyance was subject to easements of record. The family had earlier made a family agreement that didn't have that language in it, but simply agreed to that Bernadette would have a life estate and the remainder would be divided eight ways. The county argued ratification, essentially as a matter of law. That is, that on signing this deed of distribution and the children being part of the estate, that they had ratified the easement. The district court judge found, and in the order overruling the motion for summary judgment, and also at trial, that ratification requires actual notice for a ratification, and that that actual notice had not occurred at all. The county abandoned, entirely abandoned, the ratification theory at the time of trial and decided to pursue only an estoppel by deed theory, which essentially was based on the same facts as the ratification theory. It proceeds along the same lines, that the county says that the family made a family agreement. The personal representative's deed said the conveyance was subject to easements and restrictions of records. And when they did these things, the county says an estoppel of deed occurs. Well, that's not right. An estoppel of deed only occurs for the parties to the deed or their privies. The deed of distribution, the actual document, does not involve the county or the cattle company. It protects the parties to the real estate. The doctrine of estoppel by deed protects the parties to the transaction, not outsiders. Second, you can't use estoppel by deed to cure flaws in the legal requirements for the creation of an interest. If the easement does not create a property interest because it was improperly signed in the first place, then estoppel by deed does not make it good. These were the two defenses that the parties raised at trial. That is, the cattle company said estoppel by deed, sure, and then maybe ratification, the cattle company said, and the county said, no, it's estoppel by deed. Well, estoppel by deed really doesn't work here as a matter of law. And ratification, there was no evidence. There was no evidence that the Tramp children ratified the deed, that they had actual knowledge of the easement at any time. And really, there was no contest at trial concerning that issue. On appeal.
Was there some evidence that at least one of the children was aware of the easement or the document?
Thank you, Chief Justice. Sure. And Mardell Hochstein was a one of the children of Bernadette Tramp. She was in the house when the H&H representative, Mr. Herzog, came in with the easement and explained, according to Mrs. Hochstein, that he needed Mrs. Tramp to sign, Bernadette Tramp to sign a paper so he could clean up the creek. The trial judge in this case found that Mardell Hochstein did not know that this was an easement, that there was no evidence that that she read it or understood it, or that it was different than what she said. And that's the significance.
I think what deference do we give to a factual?
Chief Justice, that's the significance of the Ulmer case applying here. The Ulmer case, which is the standard of consideration for this court, says that the trial judge's findings are entitled to the level of a jury verdict. So essentially, trial court's finding is equivalent to a jury verdict. The jury verdict, the finding of the trial court with regard to the ratification issue was there was no ratification. Ratification is an issue of fact by itself. And with respect to Mrs. Hochstein, the finding that she didn't know what was in the easement, even though there was evidence, and she said herself that she recalls the day Mr. Herzog came over with the paper, but that she did not understand what it was. The appellants have raised other issues on appeal besides ratification and estoppel by deed, including one I heard Mr. Dole say a moment ago, latches. Well, latches was never pled. Latches is not part of the trial record. I don't think it applies on the merits anyway, but it doesn't belong here in front of you as an argument against the tramps when it's not included in the brief, other than a mention. It's not argued, wasn't presented as an affirmative defense at trial, and wasn't argued at trial. If there's any further questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, 1 minute.
1 minute, Mr. Dole.
Thank you, Your Honor. If matters were litigated, the case law is clear. If matters were litigated and not objected to, and the court made rulings and findings on those issues, then they are subject and can be brought up on appeal. The Ulmer case, I believe, was dicta in terms of what Mr. Fitzgerald is relying upon, but ultimately this case comes down to equities. These folks had plenty of opportunities to correct this. The deed was recorded. The waiver and easement are subject to that deed. Land records are in place for a reason. And if this case is affirmed, the filers of easements will have to constantly check land records to give actual notice to any purchaser. And that is not what the law intends. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments then in Hartz versus County of Knox. Counsel, you are excused. For those of you in the courtroom, please leave by the side door to my left, and if at all possible, social distance and use those masks. And Mr. Dole, you have left the WebEx site apparently, so you are excused also. This also concludes arguments for the day, so the court is adjourned. Thank you all very much.